Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Morgan, and today is going to be a bit of a reflection episode, but I do want to just share some optimism and that I believe that the future of agriculture is bright. So a little bit of backstory. Monday, December 9th, this past Monday, was the four-year anniversary of my husband's heart attack and his death. And it's a really heavy day. It's a heavy season. I am getting stronger. I wouldn't say it's getting easier, but I know that my body needs some extra rest. I know that the holidays are hard. I know that the traditions of what my children are going through and experiencing the beauty of Christmas through their eyes. It's actually my daughter's birthday 2 days prior to the day he died. And it just brings up a lot of memories. It makes me miss him extra. I'm getting better at anticipating it. And time doesn't heal, but it gives you time to develop the strength to go through it, if that makes sense. You grow through what you go through. And I have spent the last couple of years on this anniversary date. I've always spent it alone. Actually, the first 2 years after he died, my kids got COVID. My one daughter was 4 months old on the first year anniversary of his death because she was born. He died in December and she was born the following August. And it's just every year, like I spend that day shut in. I don't answer my phone. I'm angry. And I decided this year, I got an email from Jen Boersma. And she was not my FFA advisor or anything like that, but she was very involved in our county in 4-H. I've known her, very close friend of the family. My younger siblings had her as an advisor. My little brother had her as an advisor. And he actually took livestock judging extremely far to the point where he's judging at a junior college right now. He just won as an individual at pretty much the biggest contest in the nation, Louisville. He won as an individual for the junior college division and like just big FFA and 4-H family. So when Jen Boersma asks you for a favor and you get an email, you don't say no. So I volunteered to judge. I thought, you know what? The day is going to suck anyway. I'm going to help judge the state convention for the leadership development events. Now, if you're familiar with FFA, it used to be the Future Farmers of America. Now it's the FFA Association, which is basically agricultural-based leadership opportunities. And the conference used to be all in April, but now they've changed to that the leadership portion is going to be in December. And this is brand new this year. And so they needed judges for a few different competitions. And so I said I would help judge the prepared public speaking and creed speaking, because I did creed speaking as a freshman and I now host a podcast, work as a professional speaker at times, and I thought, okay, no, I can, I feel like I'm qualified to judge that, all right? I have my doctorate degree, give me a rubric, I can score it. All right, sounds good. So I volunteered to do that, and I really just wanted to stay active, stay busy. You know, the day was going to be difficult, but, you know, let's just have this connection to purpose, healing, and let's get excited about, you know, these young kids. So I showed up at St. Cloud State University on Monday morning, and the first event that I got the privilege of judging was prepared public speaking. And so six students, they wrote a speech on some sort of agricultural topic that they were passionate about, and they were delivered on the content, the delivery, the connection to audience, the manuscripts. The written manuscripts were prejudged ahead of time, and then we got to ask them any questions about it. As a nurse practitioner that also owns a flower farm and focuses on agritourism, all of the speeches applied to me. One was given on agritourism, two were on mental health with farming. One was just the diversity of people that are consuming the products and trying to get, you know, everyone more connected to agriculture. And they were just really, really good. And, you know, one gal, she talked about, you know, the difficulties of farming and her family farm transitioning, and she was more local to us, and it was just really, honestly, it was really inspiring. And it sounds cheesy to say the future is bright, but it really is, knowing that these kids are passionate about it. I was seriously so proud and so inspired by all of these kids. And then in the afternoon, I judged, Creed speaking, I judged the finals. Preliminary judging was done in the morning. So all of these kids, six, I believe, at a time would be in a room with three judges. And then those judges picked the final two to advance to the next round. So we got to judge the top six, which was more challenging because these are the best of the best of the best. And you judge on their delivery, you make sure they don't miss a word, you ask them questions, although this time the questions are predetermined. You just read the questions and see how they answer. But you focus on clarity, confidence, understanding. And it was, again, it was just really inspiring. These were all seventh, eighth, and ninth graders. And because you can't compete in that after ninth grade. And it was really, really promising. And I was really just proud of these kids. But I will say, the biggest thing that ended up happening is that the universe kind of provides. So once again, this is the anniversary of Josh's death, or as our 7-year-old liked to say that morning, I asked her, "Do you know what today is?" And she's like, "No, I don't know what today is." I'm like, "Well, your birthday was 2 days ago. So what happened 2 days after your birthday?" And she goes, "Dad died." I'm like, "Yep." So she goes, "Well, then it's his heaven birthday because he was born into heaven." And I never thought of it that way. And so that's what we're going to call it now. Like, it's his birthday in heaven, even though his birthday is July 25th. But it's just, I feel like that's a good way to think about it. So I was just really impressed with that. But I have been working as a speaker a little bit. Honestly, I found it somewhat exhausting to promote and cold pitch myself. And everything that I've gotten booked has been pretty much word of mouth. So I spoke at a conference last year, Women in Blue Jeans. It's a leadership conference. I spoke at that one in February of last year in Mitchell, South Dakota. In May, I spoke at another women's conference in Marshall, Minnesota. In August, I spoke at a small food, small farm convention in, or conference, I should say, in August in Fargo, North Dakota. But really, I haven't had a lot of inquiries since then. And again, to market yourself as a speaker is very difficult to do because I'm not a speaker, I'm a storyteller. I have a message to share, I have lessons that I've learned from it, and I give a speech about it. But really, it's just telling a story rather than marketing myself as a speaker, if that makes sense. And so I have a hard time, like, what I really need to do is go on LinkedIn, change my profile, really just tell everybody that I'm a speaker. You should book me for your conference. Here's my message. And I have a website page, but I just have not been doing the best job of pitching myself. And actually, the day before, I was being, I wouldn't say discouraged, but I kind of was like, you know, I either need to start investing time in really pitching myself, or I need to just kind of let it go. And if someone inquires about it, then I guess it happens. And just not really sure how I was going to do that. But I'm just going to say that the universe provides, and maybe Josh provides. So, in between the finalists of Creed speaking, Natasha, that basically puts on this conference, comes in and she's like, "Liz, I got a favor and I really can't let you say no." I'm like, "Oh boy, what's this about?" She goes, "Well, Jen was telling me that you speak." "Yes, what's going on?" She goes, "Well, our award ceremony tonight, there's over 700 kids. We have literally a speaker planned. He's coming, he's the keynote, he's paid, he's a paid speaker. He cannot get off the toilet." "Oh, well, that's not great." And she goes, "So all we have is the awards portion. So we need to throw something together. Otherwise, it's just awards. And this is the state conference. This is a big deal. It's the first year that this has been put on. These kids deserve, you know, a fun night. We want them to want to come back next year. Would you give your speech?" I'm like, "Oh, okay. Give me a little more information. What do you need?" And she's like, "15 to 20 minutes. Just, you know, give us a message, give us a keynote." I'm like, "Okay." And ultimately, my main keynote speech that I have given in the past has always been, they've wanted me to fill 60 to 90 minutes. And it's kind of my backstory, but it's meant to inspire, and you try to tailor it to the audience because a good speech gives the audience something to be inspired about. And ultimately, changing it from 60 to 90 minutes down to 15 to 20 was going to be a challenge, but I was like, "Okay, I will do it. I can do this." And I'm going to give you guys a little bit of cliff notes of what I talked about. But I wish I would have had a little bit more time to prepare because, again, cutting down a speech drastically and tailoring it to a new audience, which is essentially high school students. I've never spoken to high school students before. It's always been 30 to 50-year-old women, which is my demographic. That's who I've always spoken to this professional speech, not just women. The one in Fargo had been too, but they were all my age and working in agriculture for the most part. So I thought I would just kind of share the highlights of my speech. Hey everyone, taking a quick break from this episode to invite you to my next free webinar, Goal Setting for 2025 for Your Business. So it's going to be a live interactive session designed to get you inspired, focused, and ready to crush your goals. So we're going to talk about SMART goals, you know, the ones that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So whether you're looking to increase sales, streamline operations, or launch that big idea, this webinar will give you the tools to create actionable goals tailored to your business. It is going to be held December 17th, Tuesday at 12 p.m. Central Time over Zoom. Signing up is easy. Just click the link in the episode notes. Enter your email, and you'll receive the Zoom link 15 minutes prior to start time. So let's make 2025 your best year yet. Click the link now and sign up, and I cannot wait to see you there. I started out by telling them that, yes, I had 2 hours to prepare for this. So if it sounds like I just threw this together, I kind of did. In my opinion, there's nothing wrong with using note cards because I'd rather have a well-delivered message with note cards than a poorly delivered speech that you memorized. So I believe in my own ability to work efficiently and think clearly. See what I did there? That was part of the creed, and I am going to do this with confidence. So for those of you that I spent the day judging your speaking skills, feel free to now roast me. And this is what happens when you're a professional speaker with only 2 hours of notice and they needed someone to fill last minute. When I was a freshman in FFA, I competed in creed speaking and I didn't even make it out of regions. Yet here I am today, standing in front of all of you, delivering the keynote speech at the State Leadership Conference. What I want you to know is this. You don't have to have it all figured out right now. You don't have to be the best at everything. You just have to keep showing up, keep trying, and keep learning. My CDE was livestock judging my freshman year. But starting my sophomore year, I no longer had my team because I transferred schools. So I stumbled upon floriculture. I loved it, but I had no idea how I would make a living out of doing that. I loved agriculture. I loved FFA, but I wasn't really sure what my place was going to be. So when I went off to college, I decided to major in nursing. It felt like a safe bet. I didn't know how I was going to bring the parts of agriculture that I loved into a career. It seemed like the responsible, safe thing to do, a safety net, and maybe someday I would end up marrying a farmer, and then that would be my connection to agriculture. But I just didn't know what my place was going to be within this industry, within this world that I loved, but didn't know where I fit in. After college, I moved to St. Cloud, Minnesota. My best friend and I moved up here together. We thought we'd only stay for a year or so, but I ended up meeting a dairy farmer from Stearns County. I fell in love, and we stayed. After becoming an RN, I went back to grad school and earned my doctorate degree in nursing, thinking that advancing my career would make me feel more fulfilled. I thought, if I just keep getting more schooling, more education, then I'll be successful. Right after our wedding, Josh's dad decided to retire. It came out of the blue as I was just starting grad school. As the fifth generation on the farm, he did not want to see it sold outside of the family, so we scraped everything together to be able to afford it. It was only 40 acres, so we did not think we could make a living off it, but we thought it would be a fun hobby, whatever that means. I finished my doctorate degree in August of 2019. Our daughter was a year and a half at the time, and we finally were able to look around this piece of property that we had purchased 3 years prior and start thinking, okay, what do we want to do with this now? What life do we want to live? And what does it mean that we live on this farm? Because at that time, the farm was a noun. We knew we wanted it to be a verb in some way. But with 40 acres, how are you going to make a living? It was just going to be a hobby. But what can we do to enrich our kids' lives, our lives? How can we feel connected? You know, what does this look like? So then I started my job that December of 2019. And just 4 months later, COVID hit and healthcare lost a lot of its joy. I was working as a primary care nurse practitioner, and a lot of the elective surgeries were canceled. A lot of the physicals were canceled, and I was seeing 0 to 1 patients a day for about 2 months. I turned to gardening as a way to cope, and out of boredom, I started a little flower stand at the end of our driveway based on one of my neighbors growing up that had a honey stand where she had a sign that said, "Take the honey, leave the money." This eventually grew into my flower farm business. That summer, in just 10 weeks, we sold over $7,000 worth of flowers and canned goods at the end of our driveway. We also ended up donating a nursing home bouquet for everyone that bought one. So all of our flowers were buy one, give one that summer. And we thought it was just a passion project. We never thought it would lead to anything more. We both had careers. This was never going to make sense financially to really invest in, but it was a fun hobby. And we thought once the world opens up after COVID, we'll be done. Our life was on track, or so we thought. And then that December, my husband passed away from a heart attack while running on the treadmill. The day after the funeral, I found out I was pregnant with a second child that we prayed and prayed for. The day that he died, I did not even know how to log into our bank account. I didn't know what I was going to do, how I was going to keep moving on, but I knew one thing for sure. I was not going to be the reason that the Century Farm sign got taken down. Our daughter that had just turned three, the pregnancy that I was the only one that knew about, they were going to be the sixth generation and they were going to stay connected to their dad as long as they wanted to. I took a couple months off of work. I was fortunate that I was able to take a medical leave of absence for the diagnosis of grief reaction. And that February, when I still wasn't back to work yet, I got an email from a gentleman asking me for 200 bouquets for local nursing homes. And I ended up posting on Facebook saying, "Hey, I'm here. We had this farm stand. Remember me? I'm doing some flowers wholesale for Easter. Is anybody interested?" And within 48 hours, I had 100 orders from the community. So now I had to make 300 bouquets with wholesale flowers that I had never bought before. I didn't even have a license. My farm wasn't even in an LLC yet. But I did know that this was the first time that I was excited about something since his death. And the next 6 months until Davy was born, I could never look more than a day or two ahead. All I could focus on was tomorrow. The long-term goal was looking at my due date, but I never thought 1 minute passed after she was born. I just couldn't. I just needed her to get here safe, and I wasn't sure what that was going to look like. She arrived safely August 26, 2021, and for the first time, I could breathe, and I realized that I had a choice to make. My choice was to either stay bitter or get better. Everyone is handed a different set of circumstances, and while you cannot control what's on your card, you get to decide how to play it. At any point, you can change your bingo card. My journey from nursing to flower farming wasn't planned, but that's what my life became, and nothing in life is permanent. There is always room to grow, to adapt, to figure it out. I dove headfirst into flower farming. I started dating a fantastic man that we now call Flower Farmer Husband. And I continued to grow the farm. I hired employees and I learned how to run a business. Finally, after a couple years of that, I made another choice. I quit my job as a nurse practitioner and decided to focus on what made me really happy, and that was flower farming. Once it became my full-time career, I decided to start a podcast thinking that it was a good marketing tool to deeper connect to my current customers. What ended up happening was the exact opposite. Turns out my customers don't give a crap about how flowers are grown, but who does care about flowers is other people that want to start flower farms. So I started the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. It's grown into over 100,000 downloads, and now I spend the majority of my time leading a team on the flower farms. We do weddings, we do events, and I focus a lot of on the business side of the flower farm while also teaching others to replicate and providing the resources that I wish that I had when I first started out. Earlier today, I asked the Creed finalists what it means to live the life abundant. That's part of the FFA Creed. I believe in the life abundant and enough honest wealth to help make it so for others as well as myself. I asked them what they thought it meant. To me, it's about abundance versus scarcity. If you have an abundancy mindset, there is room for you. There is room for your ideas. There's room for your goals. There's room for your dreams. Whether it's someone else's table or a table you build yourself, there's always room. Alternatively, you can choose to live in a scarcity mindset. It tells us to compete. It tells us to worry that success is limited, but success is not a pie. When someone else wins, it does not mean that you lose. Life is going to throw challenges at you. It's okay to feel overwhelmed, but the key is to keep moving forward even when that path isn't clear. Another line that stands out of the FFA creed is, I believe in my own ability to work efficiently and think clearly with such knowledge and skill as I can secure. You don't need to know everything right now. Confidence in your ability to figure things out as you go will take you so far. I didn't even make it out of Regents for creed speaking. I didn't even get the chance to say the creed at State. And here I am giving the keynote speech at the State FFA Leadership Convention. And my main source of income and how I established my career is by talking into a microphone on a podcast, teaching people about flower farming, the very sector of agriculture that I didn't think I would be able to make a living from, and why I ended up in healthcare as a default. I know I have some teachers in this very room that wrote, "She talks too much," on my report card. In fact, I was actually sitting next to him judging the prepared public speakers while he was sitting there. So that's the most full circle moment I can think of. It is so easy to get caught up in what others think of you, but not everyone's opinion matters. I want you to ask yourself, don't worry about what other people think about, but care about what your people think about you. Do your parents think you're a good son or daughter? Do your friends think that you're a good friend? Are your classmates sitting next to you glad that you are on their team? In my life, I ask myself, does my husband think I'm a good wife? Do my kids think I'm a good mom? Not, do other people think I'm a good mom? Do my kids think I'm a good mom? The answer to that is yes. Focus on being the best version of yourself for the people who truly matter. Don't let the opinions of those who aren't on your journey hold you back. Your life won't go as planned, and that's okay. You are talented, you are capable, you are resourceful. Trust in your ability to figure things out. Play your bingo card wisely and focus on the next right thing. Thank you for letting me share my story with you today. Good luck in your competitions and beyond. The future is bright. I am so inspired and I can't wait to see where you all go from here. All right, out of speech mode, back into podcast conversation mode. It was so fun. It was so inspiring. And since then, I've had three people reach out about conferences, conventions, whatever going on this spring, ask me to come speak there, share my message, share my journey, the other messages that I have. I think it's really important to discuss, you know, what's the worst that could happen. I have probably four or five different speeches that I can give to tailor it to different audiences. But I just truly believe that if you put, sorry, now I'm going to start crying. Dang it. If you just put your nose down and do the work, the universe will provide. And I think that this is exactly what I've been trying to achieve. I've been saying all along, I don't want to market myself as a speaker. I have a story to tell. I have a flower farm. I'm focusing on the business. I feel like 6 months to a year ago, I was really focusing on being a speaker or having a podcast. And I realized that that just felt so inauthentic. And so I started focusing on my farm, on my business, what I'm building here in this community. And then I'm just sharing how I did it. I'm not making a podcast about flower farming. I am flower farming. I am living it and then sharing that journey. And I feel like that's so much more authentic. I think that that is the beauty of podcasting, is you cannot fake it. You can look at these people on social media and only see little snippets of it and think like, oh, well, supposedly they have a flower farm, but I can authentically share. You can follow along in my journey of my actual farm. You can see what's actually happening. You can listen to the podcast. You can't fake this. I'm actually doing all of this. And that's exactly it with the speaking. It felt so inauthentic to say, I'm a speaker. And yes, I have to put speaker on my bio so that people know that they can book me and I'm available for speaking. But I don't feel like I'm a speaker. I feel like I just have a story and I'm sharing it. And I hope that it inspires. I hope that, you know, it doesn't come across as, well, look at all that I overcame and what's your excuse. But I just want to share that you never know where opportunities are going to come from. And sometimes they don't look exactly as you think they should look. Sometimes God doesn't send you messages and say, hey, here it is in a shiny package. Here's a speaking gig. But no, he gave me an opportunity to volunteer. He gave me an opportunity to feel good on the day of Josh's death anniversary. And I thought, you know what? This day is going to be shitty anyway. And I might as well volunteer. I might as well do something good. Maybe these kids will inspire me, but it was selfish. My reason for judging was, well, it'll be a distraction. And guess what? I took it up. I did that volunteering. I tried to give better back to the community, tried to make myself feel better. And in that, it was provided to me. And so I hope that this is inspiring. I hope that you guys have a wonderful holiday season. If you're looking for a speaker, hit me up. Send me an email. Shameless plug there. And yeah, thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.